You're listening to the Food and Farming podcast from AHDB, farming news and stories from across the UK.
Hello, welcome to the Food and Farming podcast from AHDB. The grain market is notoriously difficult to predict, and as an arable farmer, it's just one of the aspects of the work over which you have little or no control. Since Putin embarked upon the so-called special operation in Ukraine, this year has brought some of the most challenging circumstances seen for decades by the whole grain supply chain in Britain. Rising energy and fertiliser costs pose a threat to domestic grain and oilseed production, making planning and decision making tougher than usual. It's not just the weather that creates a storm. I'm John Bates, and in this podcast, we hear from analysts who use their expertise to provide insight into the direction of domestic grain and rapeseed prices to help best prepare the UK grain and oilseed supply chain for the challenges ahead. Our first guest on the podcast is Megan Hesketh. Hi, Megan. Tell us what you do, please.
Hi, John. Yes, of course. So I'm a senior analyst for cereals and oilseeds in the market specialist arable team here at the HDB.
Thank you. And this is not just a normal year, is it, Megan? So what are the key factors that are driving global grain markets?
Yeah, no, it certainly is not a normal year. I think the key thing to note is that tight global supply is really what's underpinning support in markets at the moment. So what we're seeing are volatile prices as prices jump up and down. But overall, when we consider the price level, prices are remaining historically high, supported by what's happening globally. Last year, we saw production in major grain exporters, so the US, Canada, Russia, suffer dry weather, and as such that sort of tightened the supply in the market, and we've brought that forward. Even though conditions and harvest numbers have improved for harvest 22, with the added conflict of what's happening in Russia and Ukraine, we have carried that tight supply and demand balance into this season, and that is creating a level of uncertainty to global supply. I mean, even with the establishment of the Ukrainian grain export corridor by the UN, we are still seeing uncertainty around that global supply.
Now, when this podcast goes out, the Grain Market Outlook conference will have taken place in Lincolnshire. Just for the benefit of the listeners, just tell us a little bit about that. Let's not waste the opportunity to be able to talk about that.
Yes, certainly. So this podcast is sort of following on from the Grain Market Outlook conference. It is out a few days later, but overall of what the Grain Market Outlook conference is we present a market outlook, what is happening in grain and oilseed markets. And we're going to cover quite a few of those points off today. And one really important thing to note is, like you said, the Grain Market Outlook conference was in Lincolnshire this year, just outside of Grantham, which is rather, moved just outside of what was London based. And because this conference was in Grantham this time, hopefully we'll get more of a good range across, the supply chain of levy payers, and like to hear and see them in the room, especially since the conference is in person.
Yeah, being face to face with levy payers is really important. And there are not too many opportunities, I guess, for folks like yourselves, the analysts, the people that are number crunching to get in front of levy payers. So it probably was a really welcome opportunity. What I'd like to do now is we've got Olivia Bonser, who is waiting in the wings on the podcast. So I just want to bring Olivia in now. So Olivia, you're an analyst with AHDB as well. And you've got some understanding of the Black Sea region as a major grain producer in the world. I guess what we're after is we're after some context. So tell us a little bit about the conflict that I've mentioned that's going on between Russia and Ukraine, and why this is important to the future of global grain prices.
Yeah, so basically, just to give a bit of context, following the invasion of Ukraine at the end of February, exports from the Black Sea region obviously been quite limited because of that conflict, and those low exports have provided a sort of floor of support because the grain outlook is so tight because of those lack of exports. And so even though prices have come down from their peak in around May time, prices are still historically high for this time of year. And so the volume of future export from the Black Sea region will have quite a big impact on that sort of floor of support and price movement going forward.
Have we got any numbers? Can we measure how much grain has been leaving Ukraine this season?
So if we look at Russia to start with, Sovcom have said that between July and October this year, they've exported just over 16 million tonnes of wheat, barley and maize. And if we look at the same period last year, that was just over 17 million tonne. So about a million tonne less than last year. So not a massive jump, but, you know, quite a bit less for the global outlook. Most of that was wheat exports, and that number's been growing quite a bit over the last few months as well. So we could see that go up a bit going forward, depending on the future of, you know, the export corridor. And then moving on to Ukraine, we don't have October figures yet for Ukraine, but if we look at between July and September this year, we saw 8.7 million tonnes of wheat, barley and maize exported. And for the same period in 2021, that was 14.5 million tonnes. So, you know, quite a considerable difference on the year. The majority of what was coming out of Ukraine has been maize, followed by wheat and then rapeseed. But maize definitely seems to be the sort of focus for Ukraine at the moment.
And we know that hostilities are continuing, and so actually shipping out of Ukraine remains really difficult.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so Megan, perhaps I can just come back to you.
Hi, John. Just to add in on this, really, you know, certainly the market is moving on sentiment at the moment with tight supply, like I've mentioned, globally. The Black Sea does add to this uncertainty, and really why, you know, it's crucial and why we're following the Ukrainian export corridor so closely. Important to consider, you know, what deal is made in those negotiations as well, because, you know, Ukraine and Russia are both really important to global availability of grains. We are seeing Black Sea grain pricing pretty competitive at the moment, as we have been seeing, you know, in recent world tenders, and we have been seeing grain leaving. Ukrainian wheat exports to September, like Olivia said, you know, are lagging behind the previous year. But we have seen that pace strengthening with ships leaving ports. And like Olivia said, you know, maize and wheat especially are seeing priority there. You know, that's especially where the numbers are that have been leaving Ukraine since that deal has been set up. So we are seeing, you know, maize and wheat leaving. In terms of Russia, you know, they have had a very large crop this season, up significantly from harvest 21, like I mentioned, with, you know, drought conditions. And it's certainly priced this way, with forecast between sort of that 90 to 100 million tonnes for the harvest 2022 figure. So really, you know, wheat exports are matching pace up to October with last season for Russia. I mean, those export forecasts are pretty big. But, you know, as we move through the season, smaller crops are forecasted for Ukraine and Russia next season. So, you know, questions about how competitive they can stay are certainly valid as well. But now they are pricing pretty competitive. But, you know, certainly with an active war that's going on. And of course, you know, the Ukraine export corridor, they're all things to watch really closely.
How does the picture for the global market impact on domestic prices?
Yeah, so our domestic futures markets have been following global contracts pretty closely. Like has been mentioned by Olivia and myself, you know, even though we have seen a dip in prices over the past couple of months, you know, prices are remaining relatively elevated, domestic prices, that is, by that global market strength. And ex-farm prices, you know, that the prices that you are seeing at farm gates have also felt this support as well from those global markets. When we think about sort of the domestic balance at the moment of what's in the country, you know, domestically, we have quite a large balance of wheat in the country, you know, high carrying stocks from last season, teamed with an early harvest and strong yields. I have seen quite a large exportable surplus in the UK of wheat, even though that barley balance is a little bit tighter. You know, we do have quite a lot of wheat within the country. So really those global prices are supporting our domestic prices. You know, thinking about that domestic balance as well, you know, think about the demand side, important to note and think about for domestic prices going forward is, you know, ethanol demand, flour milling, brewers, maltsters and distillers and animal feed, which I'm sure we'll go into more detail going forward. But those are really key for that price direction as well. And finally, you know, a key thing that I like to think about in terms of, you know, domestic price at the moment is thinking about domestic demand going forward. And, you know, currently prices are supported by strong global prices. But certainly important to consider are those storage costs and interest rates for that money in the bank as well. So really, you know, considering all of these factors together when considering, you know, when to sell and making those decisions.
Okay, so demand is key. Olivia, let me just bring you back in again. So the watch point for our domestic grain supply and the demand balance. So this is considering the difficulties across the livestock sectors and the looming recession. What are the key challenges and factors to consider for domestic cereals demand for this season?
Yeah, so I think as Meg sort of pointed out, the main areas to think about are bioethanol, animal feed and the recession. So obviously bioethanol at the moment, we're not 100% sure what that demand centre is going to look like going forward, but it's definitely something to monitor. In terms of animal feed, you know, there's obviously the problem with bird flu. We don't really know the impact that that's going to have, the scale of that yet, and what sort of impact that's going to have on wheat demand, particularly in animal feed production, and also declining livestock numbers in general. So pig numbers are going down quite a bit as well. And we could probably expect cereal usage for animal feed to go down a bit as well this season. In terms of barley, there is actually a projected rise in barley usage by brewers, maltsters and distillers. However, obviously there is that concern of a recession, and could we see consumption sort of going down a bit as that recession lingers over us? And that's also a concern for wheat usage as well. You know, I think flour millers are a bit concerned that if we do head into that recession, is consumption of flour going to come down? Out of home consumption isn't back to where it was pre-COVID, so you know, those figures are still quite low historically, and it's definitely something to watch moving forward.
Yeah, lots of potential impact factors. Let's bring in Anthony Spate now. So, Anthony, welcome to the podcast. Tell us what you do for Levy Payers.
Hi, John. Thank you. My name is Anthony Spate. I write articles and insight into what's driving domestic grain and oilseed prices for our Levy Payers and produce price indexes as well.
Okay, so let's just talk about oilseeds then. What are the key factors that are driving oilseed markets this season?
Well, John, this season, oilseed markets are quite well supplied. So obviously, to start with, we have had Harvest 22. We had quite a large European rapeseed crop come to the market, which wasn't significantly impacted by the drought that Meg was mentioning with grains. We've also seen a large revival to Canada's canola crop, so their rapeseed crop as well, after their really bad drought for the last marketing year. And also the drought in North America as well didn't really have a significant impact on US soybean production either. And they are nearing finishing their harvest now. And although they're not going to produce a record crop, it is quite a large crop that is coming to the market. Just other factors that are driving the market, despite the bearishness of large supplies, are the Black Sea Corridor, which has been mentioned by prior members within this podcast. This will be determine prices going forward, and we're in quite a high price scenario at the moment, and what happens with that will depend on ultimately where the market goes. In other oilseed news, we've had weaker demand from China, so they're obviously a large consumer of vegetable oils and oilseeds. This is due to crush margins being negative for them, and that also ties in with the fact one of the reason why their crush margins have been negative is because of higher soy oil prices. And so there's a large soy oil demand for the US at the moment, as we've got high diesel prices. They've got a high blending rate of soy oil in their biodiesel mandates. But other things that really loom on this market going forward is recession and the potential of a global recession, which will stop the demand of both consumption from places like China. And obviously they've got zero COVID policies. And then also the demand for fuel. And if you've got a big consumers consuming a lot of vegetables going to fuel, and we have this recession, we could have a bigger bear on the market. And it doesn't just stay there as well. So at the start of 2023, we will be getting the Southern Hemisphere oilseed crops. And notably, Brazil and Argentina will be producing colossal soybean crops, which will be coming to the market and which could bear on the market going forward as we go towards the end of this marketing year. So from January, February 23.
Okay, thank you for that, Anthony. Megan, let me just bring you in.
Yeah, certainly. So I just wanted to add on top of that, you know, global recession is certainly a big factor to think about, you know, not just for the oilseed side, but also for the grain side in terms of thinking about, you know, future global demand and really whether we see a change in that balance between sort of tight global supply and where demand sits. Because, you know, even with a tight global supply, if we do see reductions in that demand side, you know, that will loosen that balance, if you will. And, you know, we could see some pressure on prices on the back of that. So certainly global demand and global recession is definitely something to think about, like we've seen in our own GDP numbers for the UK. You know, September saw real GDP fall for that month, and whether we see that in other large economies like the US and across the EU as well going forward. And that's really going to be a watch point. And, you know, what does this mean for grain markets, global grain markets and the domestic grain market, as well as oilseed prices as well?
Okay, so Anthony, let me just come back to you then and put that question to you. So what will this mean for rapeseed prices going forward?
Well, John, that's the million-pound question, eh? And I haven't got the crystal ball for that one. However, what we can offer as insight is the fact that, as I mentioned earlier, we've had this large Canadian canola crop come back for this marketing year. So last year, Canada had such a huge drought. They produced near enough half the crop they should have done, or maybe just over half the crop they should have done, which meant that rapeseed prices were at a significantly high premium. So the oil and the seed was at a high premium over other oil seeds within the vegetable oil and oil seed complex. But now we've got this crop that's come back online, rapeseed has lost its premium. So all the things that I just mentioned before will be driving levy payers' rapeseed prices. So all the bearishness around South American crops that are coming to market at the start of this year, the large US crop, and all the and then weakening Chinese demand, all of these things could have the potential to weigh on oilseed markets, which will inherently weigh on rapeseed prices too.
Okay, thanks, Anthony. I'll tell you what I have got in this podcast is I've got a bumper crop of guests. So my next guest is waiting online too, and that's Mark Topliff. Hi, Mark. Thanks for coming on the podcast. Now, you look after farm economics for AHDB, and you've been assessing farm margins and input costs from farm bench data. First of all, tell us about farm bench data for those that are not familiar with it, but then give us some insight into the challenges that are facing arable farmers right now.
Yeah, good to join you, John. So farm bench is a website based benchmarking tool which is open to UK arable and livestock farmers to they can record and monitor and compare their physical and financial results of their enterprise in that tool. So it's quite a nice way of looking at how your enterprises have compared to others of very similar situations. So you put in your figures and then your report can be tailored according to what you'd like to compare against. So that could be somebody in the same region, or sorry, on average in the same region, or even soil type, or even the type of sort of wheat market that you're selling your wheat into. So it's quite a nice sort of tool which allows quite a lot of different comparisons which could be tailored to whatever you want to look at. So that's farm bench, and it's been running for the last sort of 6 years.
Good plug for that, Mark. Good job. Well done. So come on then. So give us a bit of the insight into the challenges that facing arable farmers.
Well, I mean, it's certainly been a challenging year, hasn't it? After a drier than usual sort of spring and summer for most of the UK. I mean, the southern half of the country, there's been much welcome rain to moisten fields and create some good seedbeds lately. But further north, it's been a bit more of a case of making the most of the dry days, which have been fewer. But growers are facing a year ahead where input costs are going to have a more significant impact on margins than probably what we're going to see in 2022. So generally speaking, most, if not all, input prices have risen. In particular, nitrogen fertiliser, red diesel prices, which are all about 50% higher than what they were in November 2021. So the challenge facing growers is how to still produce reasonable crop yields without breaking the bank with higher input costs.
Okay, now I guess that sort of takes me to saying, so, you know, margins are going to be squeezed, but crop performance too, I imagine.
Well, as my colleagues already mentioned at the moment, commodity prices and forward prices are looking good from a grower's point of view. So, you know, despite that, the higher cost, the margin estimates for 2022 are looking good. But as I've just alluded to, I mean, the continued elevated prices will impact costs more on the 2023 harvested crops, depending on what level of inputs people choose to do, depending on how they judge the amount they want to spend. It may have some impact on yields. But certainly based on the data from AHDB farm bench users, it's forecast that the cost of production will increase by a further 32% on average across the combinable crops, with crops such as winter wheat expecting to see a 38% rise compared to 2022. So as far as margins are concerned, we're expecting good margins for 2022 crops, but and higher than what we saw in 2021. But on average, the margins are looking like being around 80% up for winter wheat and nearly 50% for spring barley. However, and this is the thing, this is where we'll see a difference between the top 25% and the middle 50%. And for 2023, there is expected to be a significant fall in net margins. So the average farm bench performers, the winter wheat could expect a 64% reduction in margins, but still likely remain positive. But margins for spring barley and winter oilseed rape could be negative for that middle 50% group in farm bench. In contrast, though, the top performers are likely to see positive margins based on the fact that their costs are lower and yields are forecast to still be above the middle 50% performance.
So with all of your knowledge and of understanding farm economics, Mark, talk to the listeners and give them a key takeaway.
So there's never been a better time to be aiming towards that top 25% performance level, because despite the higher costs, you're in a better position to ride out a situation when margins get squeezed. So the obvious thing to say is, in order to achieve that top 25% performance from your crops, is to reduce your costs and optimise your yield. However, that requires what I think makes the top 25% stand out, which is a mindset of paying attention to detail. When I talk to growers all around the country, you can see those that have had that approach to what they do. You can see the difference it makes to their farm business. What they do is critically review every aspect of their production system, question whether what they're doing is actually the right thing to do. They're objective about what they're spending money on, and they question themselves on whether they have enough knowledge to get the most from their resources. If not, then they seek it out.
Mark, thank you very much indeed. My thanks to our guests, Megan, Anthony, Olivia and Mark. If you've got any comments about this podcast, or you would like to be a guest because you've got something of interest to say to LevyPairs, or you just want to suggest a topic for a future episode, please get in touch. You can email foodandfarming@ahdb.org.uk. This podcast was produced by Chloe Kimberley. Stay safe, stay well. I'm John Bates. Thanks for listening.